Hi guys, this episode is brought to you by the new Starz comedy series, Now Apocalypse. Executive produced by Steven Soderbergh, follow Ulysses and his friends as they navigate dating app adventures and awkward hookups in Los Angeles. Wait, Ulysses is going to go on a dating app? I would swipe right. I would. But do his foreboding dreams reveal a weird alien conspiracy, or is he just smoking too much weed?
I don't know.
It's LA, so it's probably too much weed.
Too much weed,
got,
or like
got it to too many trips.
Or CBD, or like too much. They're like planning their Coachella trip, and like things get crazy.
They stocked up at the dispensary,
probably
the one on Sunset. That's the one I like. Anyway, find out the answer when Now Apocalypse premieres on March 10th on Starz or the Starz app. Hello, welcome back to Betch Slapped. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And we're back.
And Sammy, you're engaged.
Woo, yay.
So exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
I know all of you want to know. I'll tease it because it's weird for you to say that.
Yeah, it is weird.
Everyone wants to know the stories, but Sammy and I just recorded our Sunday episode of Diet Starts Tomorrow. If anybody doesn't know what Diet Starts Tomorrow is, it's basically our amazing fucking popular podcast all about cutting the shit about wellness on Instagram and in real life and talking about our diet journeys and how we have lost weight, gained weight, did everything. Possible thing. And so we talk about that on Diet Starts Tomorrow, and so she tells the story of her engagement.
It's an epic tale.
And we talk about weddings and all of that stuff, which we want you guys to tell us if you like talking about weddings. Send us some DMs. I'm at Aileen and she's at Sammy, and let us know if you like talking about weddings, because maybe there's something exciting coming.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway,
and not just the Sunday episode, but that is exciting.
Just
too.
Yeah. So this Sunday, listen to the episode. It comes out in the morning. Diet Starts Tomorrow, and subscribe and go listen to it. If you hate it, I'm sorry, but you won't. So,
and if you do, like,
puck
that's
you,
fine.
Miss.
Let's move on to the pop culture update.
Okay. What's going on, Sammy? What's the lowdown?
I mean, everyone seems to be talking about this Michael Jackson documentary.
I know. Did you watch it?
I was like in and out, kind of like doing things while I watched it. So I've seen parts, but I haven't like engaged with the entire thing at once. But I know generally.
Okay. I watched part one. I'm going to watch part two tonight. I was physically ill because the way in which they discuss the sexual abuse is so graphic. And then they show pictures of how young these boys were. Like 7 years old, like whatever, 10 years old, like so graphic. And honestly, like, it's painful. It's really honestly painful to watch. And I don't have much to say about it. I was reading a lot of comments about like people having completely opposite opinions. Like there's like the party that's like, holy shit, like he's a pedophile. And which from the stories he
right.
is. And then there's the opposite that's like, these guys are lying. There's, you know,
there's always going to be people who accuse survivors of lying. I personally am.
What
in
do
the
they
camp.
Have to gain from telling about their abuse? They're not making money off of this. If they are, they would have already. I don't know.
Okay, like 98% of accusations against like assailants turn out to be true.
Yeah.
So I literally, one of my biggest. And I feel it physically in my chest as I'm thinking about it. Like one of my biggest like things in society that disgusts me are people who do not take survivors of assault or this type of thing seriously.
Well, I mean, some shit happens where all with the guy who
Jussie
faked,
Smollett.
Yeah, what's
right.
his name?
That is like, that is such a rare thing.
I
and
know.
They, and something like that is disgusting. And I think is like,
I know it is, but it's not, but it's also like, but is it rare?
Okay. It is rare. Yes. It is rare. What he did, people knew kind of like right away there's something weird about this.
Right.
Like, this is a story. This, like the R. Kelly thing. These are things that are like open
so
secrets
yeah.
amongst the entertainment industry that no one can really do anything about. And like, honestly, the world... Protection should not be for someone like Michael Jackson, who
right.
already has all the protection you need. Okay. He's not alive. So let's say someone like an R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Or... Donald Trump or someone who is like, they have all the protection they need. They have the lawyers. They have the people who can
right.
threaten the victims. They have like everything that they could possibly need. They are probably not going to jail ever.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them are, but like they have Harvey Weinstein. Like, he's protected by the best lawyer. I mean, actually, I think his lawyer quit, but like, whatever. He can pay for it. He can be comfortable. Like, he's going to go to the nicest jail there is. These people have their lives ruined.
Fucked
ruined.
Up.
If you are 7 years old and a celebrity molests you in the way that's described or in any way at all, the rest of your life is not going on the regular path. It is going on a totally different path.
Fucked
You're going to be marred by trauma. Your relationships will not be the same as they show in the documentary.
I didn't get up to part two, but apparently those two guys, they're married now.
I know. Well, they show the consequences. Again,
Did you get it? Did you watch part two?
I watched like, I was in and out of both parts. Oh. So I've seen
Don't tell me what happens in part two.
But I haven't seen the whole thing. But I don't even need to watch a documentary to know that trauma has like a lasting impact on people.
But there's so much about it that's like really, really upsetting. Honestly, the whole time, obviously, the way that they talk about it is so graphic and so upsetting. But you know what I was thinking about the whole time? Michael Jackson's kids who could watch this and hear about it and like... that also pains me a little bit.
That's like, really sad, but like at the same time, most people who are defending him are like defending him as like an artist.
They're also saying let the dead rest, but okay, like here's the thing. If he was alive, Sarah actually said this. Sarah, who hosts our Not Another True Crime podcast, said this, like if he was alive, he would still say no, he didn't do it. So like at the end of the day, like, let these guys speak their word, like their truth for whatever reason that they need to. And let it be known that if you don't believe it, then you don't believe it. But these people seem to say that this has happened. And they also, their stories corroborate, like, are very, very similar.
Everyone knows this happens. Everyone has heard of Neverland Ranch and the kids. Know. You know the rumors. Like, also, it's like, how fucking selfish are you that you can't put a survivor's pain above you enjoying Pretty Young Thing? Like,
I know.
Yeah, I'm upset that I can't play Billie Jean at my wedding, but like I happen to love that song, but like it's not about me.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I wouldn't play it somewhere. I wouldn't play it at a public event. Like, I love Michael Jackson music. So this sucks, but like again, I don't need to like
the thing is
I don't put my enjoyment of his songs, which like look, songs are a dime a dozen. There are a million good songs in the world. I can find
Jonas Brothers
others.
Are coming out a lot.
Like, look, the songs are not more valuable than someone else's lifelong pain and the pain that they inflict on others.
I 100% agree with you. And okay, there's things I wanted to talk about the documentary.
Yeah,
so they portray him like sort of like a kid. However, despite the fact that maybe he's stunted and he's like been a star since
that's
he
the
was
one thing,
and
I would
he
say
definitely
in his defense.
Was no, but. I have something to in defense of that defense.
The defense is basically that like Michael Jackson like thought, I think that he in his head like thought he was a kid. And so to him, he was like having sex with an equal.
But it doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't
because
matter.
He knew he was doing something wrong. Because in his, he like tells the kids, you can't tell anyone. He has all of these like sort of things, barriers set up, like many, many doors. He has like things that fall to make a noise in order for him to know that somebody's coming so that they can put their clothes on and do stuff.
I saw he did like drills with them to,
he did
put their
drills,
clothes on like silently.
He moved them to different parts of the house so he can see cars coming up the road. So he deliberately is a predator. So like, sure, maybe he stunted. Maybe he was too a victim of assault, like, or abuse from his own father, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
That, okay, but, and that's usually the case. Like, even if you watch, like, Abducted in Plain Sight, it's sort of kind of Chris Burns, you know, Fat Carrie Bradshaw, who's in All Our Videos. He's like, it's honestly the same exact story, but with it's Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah, he's read that.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's the same. The guy also was abused as a child. So like they're just because they were also doesn't mean it's okay.
Well, I mean,
that he fucking fucked up these kids. And I also
did you ever see the movie Spotlight about the Catholic priest?
Yeah, yeah.
When one of them, the Rachel McAdams, goes to talk to like the priest and about the abuse that he had perpetuated on some kid, and he's like, he basically said something like, yeah, but like isn't that just normal? Like, because he was abused,
right,
and then became a priest.
It's cycles.
It's a cycle. So that's why it's like you can't be defending abusers because it continues the cycle.
For sure. I think it's interesting the whole like Macaulay Culkin and the other kid, I forgot his name, say like, no, there was no sexual conduct at all.
There is an interest in them saying that.
Of course. Like, but I'm just saying it's like, it's interesting that like they won't come forward.
They probably don't want to be
associated
with it, which I get. Macaulay Culkin, not the easiest life either.
And also, like, I'm sure if it did happen to him, which we can't say that it did or didn't, but I'm sure he already dealt with it.
I don't think he did.
No, I think he did. He went through like a lot of fucked up hard times. He did a lot of drugs and like,
right, a lot of times people become,
but I'm saying I think he doesn't want to unearth. I'm assuming, right, he doesn't want to unearth it again just to go through it again.
Right. I agree.
That's my theory about it, is like,
also,
I don't need to deal
with it. Also, he doesn't want the hate
it.
From the people who like pointlessly defend Michael Jackson.
Right.
It's like, why can't you just accept that this person did these things?
It's
and like,
so regard,
like, you don't know him. He's a celebrity. You don't know whether he did it
well,
or not.
Well, that's the whole thing also about these kids. So Wade, that kid, he was like, it's so weird. We went to his ranch. And if you think about it, we don't even know this guy. We met him 4 hours ago. I just felt like I knew him because I've been watching him on my TV for however many years, my whole life, since I was born. And so I felt like he was my family. That's how celebrities make you feel, because you've been watching them. And you feel like you have an intimate connection with them. However, they don't know you or you don't know them. And then all of a sudden he's in his bedroom sleeping with him the first night that he met him, and the parents are like, yeah, that's fine, they're gonna play, he's gonna do some dances.
I don't understand the parents. Like,
I also don't understand the parents who are joking and smiling and laughing about it. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And maybe it's all of the parents have that, even an abducted in plain sight. The way that they act is very weird, and maybe it's a defense mechanism, but
or maybe so you need a parent like that for
it to happen,
to be possible for the kid.
But it's just the way that they laugh.
Abusers, they groom people. They try to see, like, they test out the waters. Like, is this person going to tell on me? Is this person like open to my touches?
Can I separate the kid from the family?
Yeah. And that's like all part of the technique. Like, if you like read about abusers and they're like the way they go about things, like that's how they do it. But they want you to feel like they know you.
Right.
And celebrities do that. Like, think about how all of us feel like we know the Kardashians.
Right.
Like, no, none of us know the Kardashians. You've never been in the same 15 foot radius as the Kardashians.
I was very close to Kourtney at Coachella.
Okay, fine. But like, at the same time, like, none of us know them.
Yes.
But
speaking of Kourtney, let's change the subject, because honestly, this is so dark. And if anybody watches it, like, just I can't. Yeah. It honestly made me so sick. I couldn't turn it off, though.
Yeah,
I like.
I'm gonna
like
watch it later. So, Kourtney Kardashian is allegedly dating Travis Barker from Blink-182.
Before we went on to record this, we were like, "What does Blink-182? Is that like all the small things?" And then we were just like singing the whole song. It's like,
"What's my age again?"
Yeah, what's my age?
That's
again?
A different song. Than
I have no thoughts about this. I care zero fucks.
Same. I'm more concerned about the status of the Khloe Tristan
Jordan thing. I'm very concerned. Like, what is going on?
They have quieted down. I think that they were like, that's 1 week story, and then we'll bring Jordan back in 6 months.
Well, so I was watching someone sent me Khloe's story, and that they were like roller skating or something, and then it seemed like Khloe accidentally put up this story with some guy that seemed like she made it seem like she started calling Kourtney's name. I feel like maybe he was he was a random guy, and it's maybe seemed like he was with Kourtney. I don't know, but there was something weird about it.
We have a story on betches.com about this, and you guys should check it out, because it is like a who the fuck is Kourtney dating type of thing.
Exactly. Okay, more exciting things. Real Housewives of New York starts tomorrow. I'm so pumped.
Giovanni,
how you doing? Not well, bitch.
Oh, I love that. I love that line. It's perfect for all occasions.
Yes.
Except for when you are well.
I'm really excited this season. Same. They didn't even have any new housewives.
Right, because they didn't need them.
Because they're all so fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, New York is the best housewives show. I mean, because you might go see.
It doesn't feel like no contrived drama.
No, because none of them are actual housewives.
Right.
That's the problem with Beverly Hills. They're all trying to like both maintain this like family oriented image, right. like yet also right. be extremely right. flashy and rich and also interesting for drama. But like none of those things like actually
nobody wants
are compatible.
To be bat shit.
Right. Like they all want to be taken seriously, but they also want to be interesting for the show. But you really can't have
do
that.
Any of those
you have
things.
To be a Luann or a Ramona or a Sonia in order to make good television.
Even Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany.
I find Lisa Rinna to be like actually kind of entertaining.
Yes, but again, she's not trying to go the Dorit Kyle route of like, look how fucking rich I am.
Look how amazing I am. Even Erica has toned it down and put up a garden. I really don't like it.
Well, I don't blame her. That's what happens when you like... are a reality show reality star and you're like
I don't
on
like
the
it.
Internet
she's,
and people give you hate
she's
and they
too like she's
you
too
start
like,
to contrive your personality
yeah.
based on what people's reaction to you was
yeah for sure
so
but I'm really excited so we're going to talk about it next week
take a quick break for some emails
yeah let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Rothy's. Aileen, have you tried these shoes yet?
Yes, I have. I love mine. They're so comfortable. I got the flats and honestly, I've never had flats that were so comfortable.
And stylish. And did you know that they're made from recycled water bottles?
No, what? No, I actually really didn't.
Yeah, they are. So
that's
they're
amazing.
Like good for the environment too.
It's incredible.
They've recycled almost 20 million bottles. Is that crazy?
That is crazy. But I like them because they're stylish. But I also heard that or I saw that Meghan Markle was wearing Rothy's on her recent Australian tour with Prince Harry and I'm sure it's been selling out the whole company.
Yeah, I mean anything the princesses wear,
the
princess.
No, I agree. I honestly think they're so cute and it's really hard to make a flat that's like actually goes with all the outfits without looking kind of like, you know, I love these.
They're also machine washable and
oh,
you can
yes.
just like throw them in, which is
important.
Like how frequently do you find something like that?
I know. That's yeah. awesome.
So right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for our listeners. You use code BETCH to get free shipping with no minimum. Free shipping and free returns / exchanges on your Rothy's shoes. So all you have to do is go to Rothy's.com. That's Rothy's.com and enter BETCH to get your new favorite flats. Free shipping. They're a no-brainer. They're comfortable, stylish, and sustainable, and you get free shipping. So get yourself a pair today. Rothy's.com, promo code BETCH.
Dear BETCHES.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
And we're back with the emails.
Okay, let's do some emails, Saman.
Okay. Dear Betches, first of all, I love your brand.
Oh, a brand lover.
Yeah. I love that she said that. I consume all your content. Oh my God, is she like...
She's his content.
Is she like writing a deck?
Wait, just keep going.
And I'm wearing a shirt from Shop Betches as I write this.
I love her.
Keep on doing what you're doing. I graduated college almost a year ago and after working my ass off in college, have had the hardest time finding a full-time job. For the past year, I've been back home living with my parents in my hometown where I have no friends, working part-time and constantly applying to jobs. For some reason, I thought she was going to write constantly applying makeup. I don't know why. Meanwhile, all my friends have gone off to their new 9-to-5s or respective graduate schools and are living their best lives. It just looks like that. They're probably not, though. Every day, I get a new text about how great their lives are, how well they're doing in school, the friends they're meeting, and the places they've explored. And of course, all of them have boyfriends now. All of them. I really am happy for them, but every day it gets harder for me not to be annoyed with their happiness when I feel like my life is at rock bottom. And on top of that, when I try to tell them about my life or be honest with them, I get left unread, which makes me feel like they don't care and makes me even more annoyed to hear their happy stories. Am I just being selfish? Do I have the right to be annoyed? I'm aware that I'm slightly jealous of their happiness, but I've never felt such an annoyance towards my friends before, and I don't really know how to handle it. Sincerely, frustrated bitch.
What do you think?
I think it's just, look, a lot. Look, this is one of those. You're right out of college.
Yeah.
Okay. So right out of college.
Chance those
bad. They're
people
also
are happy.
Not happy. They hate their jobs. Like, let's be honest. Like, they may like it sometimes, but they're the bitch of the office because they just graduated too. You don't know how good their relationships are. They're obviously not going to be like. They want to look like they're killing it. Everyone wants to look like they're killing it.
Oh my God, the hustle is amazing.
The hustle fucking blows. Like, stop it. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You're just at a little valley of your life right now.
Yeah.
I felt this way after college too. I would like cry every day. Like I was in my house, hated it, like not a good family environment, didn't have money.
Yeah.
Like just, it wasn't good. It was a valley of my life. No boyfriend, like all these things. It was a valley. You're going to have that. this is just right now. You, this will happen. I think you just have to like go through it.
Yeah.
And like, and then it will be better.
I also think
this is the first year after college. It's never really that great.
It's also like they're all seemingly uncomfortable to talk about something uncomfortable, which is like how you're being honest. So honesty clearly makes them uncomfortable because all they're saying is highlighting like the really positive things about their lives. And no one, 0% of humanity only has positive things about their lives. 0%. I think I don't even need to do a study. There is this 0% if people are just positive. Everything is killing it. Like, no. So clearly they just don't are either in competition with each other, which might
that be sounds like it's
part
happening.
Of it. And maybe it's something like that. I would try to talk to someone one-on-one because fuck the group chat. Talk to someone one-on-one. There is 0% chance they know themselves a year out of college. And you seem more mature to me than them, not knowing their perspective. Because
and not
you're,
just
because
you said you love our brand.
Yes, not because you consume all our content and love our brand and wearing Shop Edge, but because you are willing to acknowledge the fact that shit isn't so great right now. And right. The fact that you're willing to be honest on your group chat. And right. You're not getting that reciprocated, not because it's not okay, but because those people that you're trying to like share with are not giving it back because they're not ready to talk about that stuff because they themselves are not in that place. So I would just hold on to it.
Right. Your self-awareness will take you way farther in life than their like happiness at the moment. Mm-hmm. Well, also you're like, all of them have boyfriends now. All of them. Guarantee at least one of them will break up with that person within the next 2 years. And then they're going to go through their valley and they're going to look for someone.
Most of them will by 25.
I don't know. I'm just saying like at least one will go through a breakup and then they'll go through this
shit. I would say at most one is getting married.
Yeah.
I would just,
I don't know them, so I can't actually judge that. I'm just saying like probably like they didn't all find their forever person and maybe they all get married and then at least half of them will get a divorce because no one finds the person at the same time as all their friends. Mm-hmm. It's a post-college. They don't know each other. They don't probably know themselves well enough yet. It's a post-college move into the city high where you're like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, like, happy hour, job, I'm killing it, boyfriend.
And the only thing that they look for in a boyfriend when you get out of college is someone who's cool.
Yeah.
And it's not at all about like who they are as a person. It's just coolness, status
right.
Does
factors.
Does
he go to Bounce?
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if she's from New York, but
yeah, but maybe they are. Yeah. The friends are. Right. It's right. Like they're just looking for someone to who's fill, cool. To check off the boxes. Like so, when you're first dating like that, like you're checking off boxes. Like you're like, is he good looking? Does he have fun friends? Is he
and
nice
then when
enough
you get older,
to me? Does
it's,
he text me?
Do we have the same values? Will he be a good father? Right. It's like completely different.
Right.
It is. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Right.
It's and so crazy how it changes.
Yeah. So, right. Like you could be going through this time so that like in a year or two you're gonna have a life that you really like and but it might be like it took you longer to find the job that you are good at and meant for. It took you longer to find a partner. It took you longer to have money to have an apartment. So like
but
it's
maybe
okay.
Because you're a thoughtful person.
Yeah, right.
A self-aware thoughtful
again,
person.
Just because you are like working part-time, save your money because it will help you. Like it's okay to live at home. We both lived at home for like 2 years. Yeah. And look, we're here now. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a fast break and we'll be right back with a second email. So Sammy, how are you doing on your New Year's resolutions now that it's March?
Actually, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been, my New Year's resolution was to just like eat healthier and just have more just generally like wholesome meals. And I've been doing that. And part of that has been that I've gotten really into eating Daily Harvest.
Oh.
So basically what they are, they will send you like cups of you keep them frozen.
Right.
They can
right.
be soups, bowls, smoothies, any sort of like.
And you can make it out of their cup, right? Like you can create the smoothie or the, right. Then they have really good bowls.
Yeah. So no dishes.
Yes.
So Daily Harvest delivers carefully sourced chef crafted foods built on fruits and vegetables, which was like another big part of the resolution.
Yes.
Just to like eat whole things, non-processed. All of Daily Harvest ingredients are carefully sourced for maximum nourishment and flavor. You can actually see all the ingredients when you open the cup. And the best part is that everything stays fresh in your freezer until you're ready to eat it. It doesn't even take, it literally takes 5 minutes to make.
Right.
And, you know, I get like impatient. I'm like, oh, I don't want to wait for this. Like, I'm just going to order Seamless and wait for that. But this, it takes 5 minutes and you have a healthy meal.
I love that.
So Daily Harvest is the easiest, fastest, and most delicious way to load up on fruits and vegetables and to make healthy eating habit stick like it has for us.
So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code SLAPPED to get 3 free cups in your first box. That's promo code SLAPPED, S-L-A-P-P-E-D, for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily, D-A-I-L-Y dash H-A-R-V-E-S-T.com, promo code SLAPPED.
We're back.
Okay. Dear Betches, recently my brother, who is in the Army, came home for a few weeks from deployment. During his leave, my best friend ended up hooking up with him when we all went out one night. I was drunk, so I didn't care that much, but when she left his room the next morning, I suddenly found myself super uncomfortable. Over the next week, they continued to hook up behind my back, and she didn't acknowledge it until I asked her to hang one day, and she replied that she couldn't because she was spending the day with my brother. I think I handled the situation the best I could, just keeping out of it, even though it was weird and irritating to me. Both apologized to me and said they stopped talking or whatever. Flash forward a month, and he's gone for a few weeks. My friend just now told me they talk every day, and she's really into him. She kept apologizing and saying she didn't tell me for so long to avoid upsetting me, and that she feels really bad. I don't want to end my friendship with her, but something switched in me and I feel like I can't trust her or fully have my guard down around her anymore. I want to move forward because I love her as a friend, but talking about guys and sex is a big part of our friendship, and now that's a huge elephant in the room. Not to mention, what do I do when things don't work out? Whose side do I take? What was once an effortless friendship is now painfully awkward to me. Am I being ridiculous? How do I get over this? Please help, conflicted match. Wait, this is just like the movie Edge of 17. Is this a promotion? Because it just joined Netflix.
Imagine. Like, this is literally very good gorilla.
It's actually so funny. No, but this is the exact plot line of, except is minus it? The army thing. Yeah, like
maybe they threw that in as a ploy.
Yeah, like as a ploy to make, but I figured it out. Yeah. No, it just joined Netflix, so like hashtag I think ad. I'm gonna watch it. Like that's because I saw it. It was good.
Okay.
Again, not an ad.
Okay. I don't know if what I'm about to say is like totally out of left field or like wrong. I could be totally wrong about this, but I just want to introduce this potential factor based on someone I know who has had a somewhat similar like reaction to a friend dating her brother.
Okay.
I think there are some people, and I don't know if this is you, I could be totally wrong. There are some sibling relationships where is this her older brother?
I'm assuming
it's her older brother. And that would probably make it make more sense even what I'm about to say. Sometimes there are sibling relationships where they can be possessive over each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or one is possessive over the other. One is like super attached to them. And when they move on with their life, especially in a way that like hits close to home, you like the sibling that's like a little bit attached gets like kind of resentful in somewhat of an irrational way. And this might be that situation. Like, I think I would maybe like look at kind of self-examine your relationship with your brother and see if like this is your situation. That if maybe you're like,
I don't know about that because I don't know because
you can't tell that
she's trust.
I don't. I think that she can't tell. I can't tell this from her email, but like I know that sometimes people get weird about their siblings and who they're dating. And she might just be getting weird. Like, I don't think
deal. It's more so about the friend. I don't agree with you.
But why is that? Why is it so bad if her friend hooks up with her
brother? Because you're not in it. You're not in it. And it's weird. It's like suddenly like I have this relationship. We are best friends. And then suddenly you go behind my back and you just fuck my brother. And it's like, it's weird.
But
and
she didn't like.
She did. She didn't tell them about it. And it's weird.
She said I was drunk. I didn't care much. She knew that her friend was hooking up with him. It wasn't like they were
because
secretly sneaking around.
I understand the possessiveness of your brother. That's because here's the thing. It's like you and that's your family. That's your side of the family. And like
right,
all of a sudden,
when boundaries
get like mixed, the line is crossed
right,
and it feels uncomfortable because now you are out. You're the one who's out.
But she didn't care at first. She didn't care because she was drunk.
But that's
right. But it wasn't like this was happening for like months behind her back. She didn't know.
Okay.
She knew that they hooked up.
When in college, I had this friend. whatever. He was a guy, and we were, I had no attraction to him whatsoever. We were just like really good friends. We transferred together, and like we were just really good friends. And we were both bio majors. We studied. We were just like good friend. And then I find out, I think Jordana was the one who drunkenly told me, because she can't keep any secrets.
No secrets.
Was that my roommate, who's our mutual friend, a girl, had been hooking up with him this for a very long time behind my back, like would sneak around. And I got so mad. Not because I had any romantic affections for this guy, but because it was a breach of trust. Like, I sit next to you and you like are doing, why couldn't you both just talk to me about it? They also told me this really funny story.
They didn't carry on for like months, like it was a week.
But she's talking to him every day, and the friend isn't telling. No,
she did. She told her, my friend just like, but like, okay, first of all, they hooked up, and then she told her they were hanging out. I have a feeling the girl who's writing this letter was like a little bit weird about it. And like that made the friend not want to tell her. And they're still texting because they're not going to like stop texting. Like he likes her. He likes the friend.
I think there's just, okay,
I don't think it has to be weird.
I think the most important thing is like for this other friend to be responsible. The one who's hooking up with the brother. Because you need to be a responsible person. And if like you're really into him and she's saying what she is, that she is into him.
She probably thought that it was not going to go anywhere though.
But now
and that's
it
why
is.
She didn't tell her. So but now then she did tell her.
Right. So I'm saying if you find yourself in this position, I think that like the most important thing is just to be a responsible friend. That is that you have to be loyal to the friend, original friend that you had. And now you're sort of blurring the lines.
Especially if you're like.
You're blurring the lines. You're fucking his brother. So like now you have to make sure that to only do it if you feel like it's going somewhere, I think.
But I think that this girl does feel like it's going. I actually.
That's what I'm saying. Wait. But that is what I'm saying. So like, okay, now that in this story, it's okay. You know, you're not being ridiculous, A, for thinking about like being confused. But I think it's just going to take a little time to get used to this new dynamic. And then it's all great.
Right.
It's like in Friends when Ross finds out, you know, that Monica and Chandler, and then he like later realizes like, okay, my best friend. And then he's happy.
Right.
Like, so it takes some time.
I don't think it has to be like, I think that you only feel awkward because it's like early and you feel like you were left out of some things. But like, it really doesn't have to be a big deal. And I think that the more that you kind of like fight it or you're like, what if they break up? Like if they break up, like
you'll figure it out.
Just it doesn't have to be a huge deal. Like you don't have to do, as long as you don't do anything offensive to either party or like mean or like unsupportive of either party. Like, I think that it's fine. But like, again, I think that sometimes, and I've seen this, and that's why I'm saying this again, I don't know like them, but sometimes I think siblings get a little bit possessive over their sibling, and it has to do with like childhood shit. Like,
I'm sure.
Like that in that case, maybe they really look maybe they really look up to the brother, and it's like you feel like you're being replaced as the like and it's weird. And I'm not saying like you have a sexual attraction to your brother. I'm just saying like
when
your brother, who's your number one and you were his number one, gets a different number one and it's your best friend, you're going to be upset and you might overreact. So maybe ask yourself that about your relationship with them. I'm not saying it's definitely that situation, and I get why you feel a little awkward, but like ultimately, if this is your best friend and it's your brother and you love each other, it should be fun. It should be fun.
Can I close off my story though?
Yes.
So apparently so after we all confronted each other I found out about it, they told me that this, so, and then I got over it like kind of fast because I didn't really care. But it was weird at first. But anyway, so they told me like, Aileen, like one night, like we were sitting on the couch and I was a huge mess in college, but like you just walk in wasted and you're just like, hey guys. And then you just go to sleep. And they told me they both they didn't move. They were statues. They're like, oh fuck, she's found us, she caught us. But like I was wasted.
So
I blacked out
though.
I was blacked out. I didn't remember it.
That's so
all.
Funny.
And they told me about it later and I thought that was so
funny.
And
look, they're not still dating.
No.
So it was really not even a big deal.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. Okay.
Let's take a quick break and then
we have a really fun game. Hi guys, this episode is brought to you by every awkward sexual encounter you could possibly find yourself in while trying to date in the bewildering city of Los Angeles. Have you ever tried to date anyone in Los Angeles, Sammy?
No. And I'm happy about that. Yeah. Honestly,
I love going there because like it's fun, but I haven't tried to date anyone there.
I hear it's not the best. I have a very close friend in LA and she is like,
she's having trouble.
It's very isolated. Well, anyway, the episode is brought to you by that and the new Starz comedy series Now Apocalypse. Executive produced by Steven Soderbergh and directed by Greg Araki, this surreal coming-of-age comedy series follows Ulysses and his friends as they navigate dating app adventures and awkward hookups in LA.
Oh my God, this sounds amazing. I love Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, he's legit.
So good. But do his foreboding dreams reveal a crazy alien conspiracy? I mean, I'm all about conspiracies and Steven Soderbergh.
Is this like some sort of like satirical takeoff on The Odyssey? Is
possibly. That what I'm getting by I think his name, that Ulysses? Sounds, and that sounds ideal.
I love a highbrow, lowbrow mix. So I you love have it. Highbrow, you got some Homer, yes. Epic tale, and then you got LA. Totally makes sense. Okay. Or is Ulysses just smoking too much weed? Find out when Now Apocalypse premieres on March 10th on Starz or the Starz app.
We're back. Okay.
This game is called Which Kardashian Did He Date? And we're going to name a famous man and then guess, the other person's going to guess which Kardashian slash Jenner sister
he dated. Or we both will guess.
Okay, fine. We're both going to guess.
Because it's on the other side of the card. Okay. So this is Gabriel Aubrey, Halle Berry's ex. Who do you think, which Kardashian?
Sounds like a Kourtney.
Oh, it could be a Kardashian.
Or Jenner.
Sounds like a Kourtney. Yeah. I would agree. Kim.
Oh, didn't know that.
Interesting. Okay.
Kourtney Gamble. Kris Jenner.
Oh.
Duh.
Oh, Corey. The one he's currently dating. Chris, yeah. Joe Francis, Girls Gone Wild founder. Wait.
That sounds like a Chris also.
No. He's young. I think it's either Chloe. Kim or Kourtney.
Okay.
Interesting. Wait, which one? Let's pick one.
How old is the founder of Girls Gone Wild? He has to be old.
No, he's not. He's like 45.
Kourtney,
yes.
Great.
Nick Cannon. Chloe?
Kim?
Chloe.
Okay.
Oh. Kim. You're right. Interesting. Trey Songz. What the fuck? I didn't know any of these. Kim.
That sounds like a Kendall farce. Like
no,
a fake Kendall
no,
relationship.
No, he's older, isn't he?
I don't know. Just
Chloe. Like,
oh, okay.
Nick Lachey.
Chloe?
Oh my
no,
God.
Kourtney.
Kim.
What? When did she date him?
Oh my God. Ben Simmons is Kendall.
Kendall. Yeah. Fake. Currently fake.
Cody Simpson, Australian Justin Bieber wannabe.
Kendall.
Kendall?
Yeah.
Kendall.
Didn't he date
Kylie?
Didn't Cody Simpson used to date Gigi? So it wouldn't be Kendall.
It's
That's
Kylie.
Probably why
yeah,
I confused
it's Kylie.
Them. Okay.
James Harden, NBA player. That's Chloe.
Chloe. Yes.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Chloe.
Trick, none of them.
Oh my gosh,
fuck that. Yeah. Tyga, Kylie.
If you ask Jordana.
Yeah. Reggie knows? Bush, Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
Jeezy. Who the fuck is Jeezy? Yeezy? Chloe.
I don't even know who that is.
Justin Bieber.
Jizzy. Justin Bieber.
Kourtney.
Kendall.
Kourtney.
Oh, right. Kourtney.
Kourtney.
But also Kendall.
Kourtney, allegedly.
I think he has a crush on Kendall. Also, okay.
Well,
last
he's
thing.
Married.
Who do we want to betch slap this week?
Who are we? I think we're betching slapping Michael Jackson.
I'm not betch slapping Michael Jackson. I'm betch slapping his defenders.
Ah, okay. I'll go with you on that one. His defenders. I agree.
Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah.
You're gonna defend this guy?
Really?
Really?
No, I totally agree with you. Okay, that was an amazing episode. Don't forget.
If we do say so ourselves.
Obviously, we always say so. Don't forget to go to tune in to Diet Starts Tomorrow this coming Sunday, this week. We will talk about all things weddings and both Sammy talks about our engagement. And we talk about like just
the whole
all of our
story.
Wedding planning because I'm like 6 months into my wedding planning and it's not all amazing as it starts off to be.
Don't tell me that.
It's just whatever. But then the wedding culminates in the wedding. It's amazing.
Right.
So yes, don't forget that. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about this podcast because you know you love it. And you know, you love our brand with all the amazing content that we create. So, and follow me at Sammy, me and Sammy. I'm at Aileen and Sammy's at Sammy. And we love you all so much. Okay. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.